Hello and welcome to Two Blokes Trading. Join us, the two blokes, Tom and Owen, as we dive deep into the complex, exciting and potentially lucrative world of home trading.
Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the Two Blokes Trading podcast. This week, Tom puts his money where his mouth is and takes live his back-tested trading system. I fall in love with Elliott Waves, and we have a very special guest on the pod. Rob Booker of the Traders Podcast and more recently Trader Radio is here to impart his knowledge to two newbie traders.
Who you also fall in love with a little bit.
Yes, well, spoiler alert. Tom, good morning.
Morning, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. Yes, another Friday morning recording with my good mate Tom. No problems at my end.
It's the first time you've ever said that I'm a good mate. That's nice. It's a bit of bromance.
I've actually known you now over 10 years. So I thought you deserved it.
Yeah, thanks. And if only you'd made me best man at your wedding, we wouldn't have, you know, would we?
And that, yeah, fine. All right. And then it's the Godfather thing and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's fine. Well, don't worry, mate. You're named in my will.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, we've got to earn some money first. So, yeah, and talking about my trading system, I think that it's very, very important to note that we've only been trading for less than a year now for anyone that's new to the podcast. So in terms of this new trading system on going live, this is not a signals trading system. This is not me saying, come and do exactly what I do. This is very much, this is the first time I've ever gone through a set process of, I've got a concept, I'm going to test the concept looks all right, I'm going to forward test the concept, still looks all right. Right, okay, I put a little bit of money now in a live trading account and I'm now doing small, tiny micro lots just to test it out again.
Is it worth actually just doing a recap? Because we're on episode 39 now, that, you know, we're 9 months, 10 months in. Is it worth recapping exactly what Two Blokes is for those that don't know?
Yep, we're happy with that. So we're obviously two mates pretty gathered by that already. For those that don't know, we basically wanted to get into trading, but we very quickly realized, having done a little bit of research, is that there's a lot of dodgy people out there, a lot of scam artists and a lot of people telling you, obviously the markets are 50-50, so one person will tell you buy, whereas other people will tell you sell at the exact moment in time, and you just don't know who to trust. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, fair to say. And I think we also realize that there are people that do make good money doing this, that make either a second income or their entire living, you know, trade for a living, but there are also people that jump in sort of gung-ho, lose all their money or a big chunk of it, and just give up and walk away thinking that trading is a mug's game. And we didn't want to be those people, but we also thought, well, if we know enough not to be those people, maybe we should document the journey as we go and maybe help other people to not be that guy as well. That was, what, June 2016?
Yeah, and in terms of saying we're not that guy, like, I everyone listens to the back catalogue, I can only speak from example that I was that guy. I was the guy that jumped in, I started trading, and I'm slightly you as well, Owen, but the key point there is we stuck at it, and now we're trying to become more methodical in our approach, speak to far more successful traders, and we're now knowing what to look for in terms of the people that we interview, and key things to take away from each interview. And yes, we will have different people that come on and talk about different trading systems, so you can't listen to 1 week and go, that's how I'm going to learn to trade, and then a week later someone else talks about trend trading, it's like, oh no, I need to be a trend trader. You just got to take bits, odds and ends, bits of quality, bits of gold from each interview and try and apply that to your thinking. That's what we're trying to do anyway.
Well, exactly. I think that's what I've done and that's what you've done. And I'm quite excited that you have gone to a place now where, okay, so we were kind of like trying out a few different things, trade here, trade there, lose a bit of money here, make a bit of money there. And then you've gone, okay, no, right, we've interviewed, like, when was this, like episode 32 or something? We've interviewed this many people. I know there is a process and you've got it all nailed out and you did it. You've gone away and you've done it. And now it's very exciting. You're live trading as of this week on a fully tested, back tested, forward tested, analyzed system that you first demo traded to sort of perfect. And you're making money?
Yeah, well, it's a bit early to be saying that I'm making money. Yeah. But yeah, I've had a few profitable trades, but I'm not, you know, I've already come across a rule that I hadn't even thought about. You know, and it, so a thing that I created the system, I create my rules, and then literally the first day or the second day actually, a trade rolls overnight, which hadn't happened before, and I've got an open trade in the morning that the Fibonacci levels that I was using for the technical system didn't, because it was the previous day's Fibonacci levels, this today weren't relevant. So I was like, well, what do I do with my trade? And you and I had about half an hour this morning talking about what I should do with it, which is quite frustrating.
Well, it was quite amusing for me because obviously I've been hammered by a certain other host on this podcast for my own issues with closing trades overnight. Do I or don't I? Do I manage them? What are my rules? I've been massively hammered on this by you, documented out there in the world. And then this morning I have this phone call from you saying, my trades went overnight and I don't have any rules to deal with it and I don't know what to do. Should I manage the trade or should I just get out? I want to close the one that's in profit, but I don't want to close the loser. And I'm like trying to be helpful, but I'm like, Tom, mate, this is the height of irony.
Yeah, I know.
I put that aside and I think I was helpful.
Cool. Yeah.
So just to clarify, obviously your Fibonacci levels, they're Fibonacci support and resistance lines, right? Rather than Fib retracements or Fib extensions. So you are, do you want to just give the outline of what it is exactly?
Yeah, very, very briefly.
Yeah.
So briefly, what the system is I'm looking at. We had a guy called a very successful trader called Samuel Leach on about a month and a half back,
something like that, four or five episodes, yeah.
And he mentioned something about support and resistance and like R3 and S3 and a significant percentage rebound off it. So I just went away and created some sort of rules around that, and that's basically what I'm doing. I'm looking for rebounds off the R3 S3 of the Fibonacci levels, and that's the broker I'm using allows you to plot Fibonacci support levels and resistance levels. Not sure if that's on every single broker, so you know I'm not saying, you know, go away and have a look at it if you want to have a look at it, but I'm still learning this system, and that's what I'm looking for. A very simple 1-for-1 risk reward ratio, because the percentage is so high of the rebound that it's worth that kind of lower risk reward ratio, at least from my perspective.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, my goal for this year is just to be profitable. I don't care about the high. You know, I'm not looking for it's going to make me a multi-millionaire overnight. I just want to get to the end of 2017 knowing that I am a profitable trader throughout this period. So that's my ultimate aim.
Yeah. And so if you have 55% winners and 45% losers, and it's 1-to-1 minus a bit of broking costs, you'll be in positive territory.
Yeah, and that's just that. Yeah, and that is, for me personally, for this year, that's a win. Hopefully, that's the key thing is that we've learned is if anything seems too good to be true, it almost certainly is, and therefore it's small baby steps.
Yeah, of course, it does require you to leave your original stop loss and take profit, and not manage the trade when it's in the next morning, because then you change the risk reward ratios. But you know, that's something food for thought, Tom.
It depends on the rules, mate. If it's held overnight, then help. Right, let's move on.
Cool. All right. I think I've entered a process similar to the process you've just been through. So obviously I'm live trading basically doing Fibonacci retracements aligned with fundamentals. So sort of looking for pullbacks against the prevailing direction, looking for a strong versus a weak currency, and only trading euro, US dollar and GBP pairs. So very simple. And again, like you're just trying to be profitable in 2017. Fine. That's all gravy. But possibly in some sort of self-destruction mode, I've decided that isn't enough for me. I have spent a significant amount of time, as regular listeners will know, researching the Elliott Wave Principle, literally the book Elliott Wave Principle by Frost and Prechter, which is, although not the founding work, obviously that was done by Elliott himself, is the, if you can call it that, it's the Bible of Elliott Wave analysis of wave analysis, for sure.
Now, this book, I seem to remember you were reading this book when we went to the Cup Finance Feed
in October,
Cup event in October, in Cyprus.
I had a few full starts. And it's one of those things where when a topic is quite complex, and the book is written, it was written in the 70s, and it's written almost like an academic guide to it's all about market mechanics and market behavior, really, rather than, it's not a trading manual. It doesn't say, and this is when you should get in, this is when you should get out. It says, right, this is what wave patterns look like, this is how you can count them, this is the principles. Oh, and by the way, here are the 1 million different variations that don't follow the basic rules. And here is a bunch of very grainy, zoomed out graphs from the 70s, or, you know, of the Dow Jones from 1929 to 1954 or whatever. This is the best example we can find. And I'm like, okay. It's an absolutely brilliant book. The full review, I've written up, you know, a pretty long review, but if you've got a spare half hour or so, there's a full review on the Tuplex Trading website. If Tom or anyone else wants to read that, I'm sure you already have, Tom.
But it sounds, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds extremely academic. It is.
I suppose. It is. I mean, a lot of that book is like, it's got the life history of Fibonacci effectively. It's all about golden ratios, golden spirals. It talks all about, obviously, about Fibonacci numbers themselves, how that applies to the universe generally, and, you know, all the different examples from different types of seashell to whirlpools to galaxies to wave level. And you can plot Fibonacci spirals on a chart of any given market that's applying effectively a wave principle, and it calls the times that the markets will change direction. You know, they make a very compelling, if tortuous, case for these repeatable market behaviors that you can plot by looking at the recent movements of the market, identifying where in a wave pattern they fall, and there are certain things that they believe, the rules that it will do afterwards. The reason I like it is that this is all effectively a predictive indicator. You know, you have lagging indicators and you have predictive indicators, and, you know, some people disagree on what's what, but something like a moving average crossover is a lagging indicator. All it tells you is what the previous price has done. And then that can enable you maybe to say, okay, so I therefore my conjecture is that the price will change direction, or whatever it is you believe about that moving average crossover. Whereas Elliott Wave should literally be able to say, okay, it is at this portion of the unfolding wave pattern. I therefore think that what the price will do is it will go up to this point. It will then come down to this point, and then it will go up to this point, and it will take this much time. You know, you can predict it with very specific levels of accuracy. Now, often it's wrong and people get it wrong. But
correct me if I'm wrong here, but I've seen Anil Mangal on TradingView with his predictions, and he goes, yeah, it could go up, it could go down. Actually, when it gets to the top, it could just keep going up as well. So in theory, it could go up or down. And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty much trading,
Anil's
isn't
great
it?
Great at Elliott Wave theory, 100%. And we had him on the pod. He was brilliant. And
he was great. Listen to his episode.
And you should listen to his episode. It's a great episode. I think it's our most downloaded episode ever. According to iTunes. But the difficulty is, so it's not a flaw with wave theory. It's the difficulty of seeing where you are. That's the problem. It's like, if you then zoom back out and all of those predictions he'd made happened, you'd be able to say, oh yeah, actually we were exactly there and it did play out the way it should have played out. However, at the time, like with all chart patterns, it is much more difficult to see where you are in real time. And it sounds stupid. Well, you're like, well, yeah, then it's not a good system. But if you can get good at it, I really think if I can get good at it, get good at spotting the patterns, good at understanding whether this is, you know, a zigzag or you know, whatever type of corrective pattern it is, or whether, you know, this is an impulse, or whether it's an extension, motive wave, you know, all these sort of different things, then you can select the ones that give a high probability of what the next thing will be and trade it. People make good money doing this. It's just extraordinarily complex. The question is, will you be able to make more profit doing this than you would just doing a very much more simple basic trading system that ticks you along nicely without having to basically dedicate your entire life to becoming a wave theory analyst?
I think, knowing you as well as I do, I think the reason why you like it is because it's hard. And that's the thing that because it goes against you like fundamentals, but this is like, ignore fundamentals.
Yeah, but this is like the fundamental of fundamentals. This is why I really quite like it. So, you know, if you look at the RSI, well, that's basically reacting to what the price is doing. The price is doing what it's doing because of the fundamentals, but actually the fundamentals are doing what they're doing because everything that happens is part of repeatable human behaviors, is repeatable actions of, okay, we are happy about the economy. Okay, we do these things. We overinflate the economy. We create asset bubbles. Oh, no, look, we've now overdone it. Okay, now boom. Like, that was boom. Oh, look, now we've got bust. Oh, okay, now we need to do X, Y, and Z. And this is how everyone's going to react. And that can be taken from the week, like, you know, the NFPs every month, right through to global cycles of war. And so that actually, this is the fundamentals that the fundamentals sit on, if that makes sense.
That's very, you're making a compelling argument. It does sound like love. And speaking about love, let's introduce the interview, shall we?
Yes, okay. So a bit more Robert's enthusiasm coming up now. without having too many stars in my eyes, I've been listening to Rob Booker's podcasts since long before I was trading, and was one of the first things that really solidified my interest. And once I got over my fear and jumped in, you know, it was obviously, you know, the rest was history, as people say. But I've been listening to him for a very long time, and it is an absolute pleasure to get him on. But without any further ado, Rob Booker from Trader Radio. You can trade Forex and CFDs with Markets.com. Markets.com, where the world comes to trade. Trading CFDs carries considerable risk of capital loss. To open an account with Markets.com, please go to markets.com/TBT. Two Blokes Trading welcomes Rob Booker. Rob is the host of Trader Radio, and before that, the Traders Podcast. He's been trading and broadcasting for 17 years, and we're delighted to have him here. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
So this is pretty cool for me, I have to say. I've been listening to your stuff for several years. I've got stars in my eyes. Tom's been mocking me for it, so it's good to have you here.
Well, I've got stars in my eyes for Tom, so it's all equal.
He'll be delighted to hear that as well. Great. So, Rob, I'm sure a lot of people listening will already be familiar with you and your stuff, but for those that aren't, can you give us a couple of minutes intro into who you are and what you do?
Oh yeah, I'd be happy to. I'm not sure everybody's familiar with me, and I'm so pleased to be here, and I love your podcast, by the way. It's the most interesting podcast about trading. It is really good, and I really appreciate it. Okay, I'm Rob. I am a trader. I've been a trader for about 17 years, and about 2 or 3 years into my trading experience, 2002, 2003, I started blogging before blogs existed, and in about 2005, 2006, I actually started broadcasting over the internet audio. And then as soon as the most rudimentary webinar software was available, I started doing webinars, all because I loved talking about trading. I mean, I really loved it. I mean, as much or more than anything else in the world. And I've been trading and talking about trading ever since.
I definitely get that feeling. You know, we love trading, but we definitely love talking about trading. I think we have about 10 times as much unrecorded chat between me and Tom as we actually ever put out on the air.
Oh, the archives, the Two Blokes, like, special archives. This sounds really good.
That's it. Like a blooper video will come out in a couple of years and will sell better than the real thing, right? So
sometimes when the microphone, okay, sometimes in the back, like after it's over and after like the official persona is gone, some of that stuff is the best. So I sometimes, when I interview someone, won't tell them that I'm running the microphone, and we'll be doing the prep, and then we'll just start talking, and they'll be like, okay, when are we going to start? I'm like, we're done.
Yeah, that's it. See you later.
Yes. I would love to hear some of your unfiltered stuff. That sounds great.
Yeah, definitely. I listen to a one called The Nerdist, quite a popular one, like celebrities, and he gets them with that all the time, and it's always the best stuff before they even realize.
There was an episode with J.J. Abrams one time, and they were all eating during the podcast, and I just said, F this, and all of you, I'm not going to listen to a bunch of guys
it's so gross
on a podcast. And I never went back, so I got to go back to that one.
Yeah, I'm terrible picking and choosing him, sort of, do I like this celebrity? I'll listen, you know. Obviously, our podcast, you know, everyone has to listen to every episode in full. Twice. Cool. So as I've said, you know, I've been listening to your old stuff, but also been listening to your recent stuff. And so I was listening to your latest episode, and you're talking about knowledge and how knowledge isn't actually power, but knowledge is actually dangerous when it comes to trading and leads to overconfidence and arrogance. And we've talked a lot about trading psychology on this podcast. And before we started, you know, a year ago, I'd never for one moment assumed that that would be far and away the largest part of success in trading. And I always thought I'd have to be able to, you know, count backwards from a million, you know, with my eyes shut sort of thing, and to be good at trading. But it doesn't seem to be that way. So one of the things we've recently been looking at is how to choose your system, how to choose your trading edge. Listening to that last episode, and this is a question from me.
Okay.
Would you say that that is far less important? And in fact, you could pretty much choose anything and then trade it correctly, in terms of correctly from a psychology point of view, and be successful?
That's a good question. Okay, so I have two things. One is, you said counting back from a million. I was just writing some notes this morning. For like a few years, I've been counting backwards from 97, but skipping three numbers to go to sleep at night. And that actually works really well. And I don't know why I would even say that, except for a lot of traders have trouble sleeping at night because we're all zombies because we have all these open positions and they're going the wrong way.
3:30 this morning, your time.
Right. Okay. So on the question of the strategy, I've had this debate in my head. So I've like got multiple personalities. We're all getting along, so it doesn't lead to any kind of social discomfort or embarrassment. But there are two of these voices in my head. And one of those voices says, you know, all you do need is the strategy. Like, that's actually all you need. And the strategy does matter. And the system matters. And it's got to be a good system with a high expectancy, something along the lines, you know, we've all heard it before, a tight stop and a big profit target, or a really high win percentage with a bigger stop and a small profit target. And I think there's some truth to that, that you can find and latch onto a system and have that system be the answer, and then run the system and let the score take care of itself, let the results take care of themselves. And then there's this other perspective, and then there's this other, the devil on the shoulder that says, oh, well, F that. Like, systems are garbage. All of them break. The only thing that matters is psychology and risk management, that you can take a mediocre trading system and, like, just a, you know, basically a garbage trading system off the web that you learned from Investopedia that somebody just put up there one day because they're a personality and they had some extra time to write a strategy and it's one of their old ones or whatever. You could take a mediocre strategy and then with a strong psychological perspective, which means I'm not going to allow myself to gamble, overtrade, hold on to a large loss and let it become a catastrophic loss. So I'll do the psychology component and then the risk management component, where I'm going to make sure that I stop when I'm ahead by a certain percentage. I'm going to keep my trade size really small. And I've finally come to the conclusion, there's like this third voice in my head that says they're both true, that automated systems that are a good automated system that has performed well over time, that's awesome. And the system is the answer. And I'm actually doing that now. So I can't even argue with it, because all of my trading is done on a completely automated system, 100% of my trades, and they are executed on a computer perfectly. And it is the answer. Like, it is great. But then on the other hand, I made money for 16 years being basically a monkey with a banana in one hand and then a trading computer in the other. And I got lucky because the psychology was good and my risk management was reasonably okay. So I think, and this is a really dissatisfying answer, I think both of those things can be true.
You know, there's never a yes in trading, though, is there? No, that's wrong. Only if you're selling
something. Only if you got something for sale. Right. It's the only time there's ever an absolute certainty. It's when someone's got something for sale. Yeah.
100%. And something you touched on there, that the gambling thing, I've been listening to for a while and talking about, you know, the drunken monkey. And we put some feelers out to our audience and asked, you know, if they had any questions for you. And one of the guys, Jose, he came back and he said, what is the difference between professional gambling and amateur gambling?
Oh, wow.
I think that's really a political point. I'm not sure.
What do you think? I mean, is there a distinction that can be made in your opinion?
Well, I think that if you gamble professionally in a trading environment, you probably end up making money regardless. I suppose the difference is, as an amateur, if I went and did that, I certainly wouldn't walk away with a £1 million bonus check.
One's a hobby and one's a job. One's done for income. One's done for entertainment. When you're trading for entertainment, or you're finding that here is a story. I'm 100% automated, 100% automated in my trading. I take zero discretionary trades, except for when I do.
And, yes.
And so this morning I was sitting in front of my computer. I do a trade copy service that's free and people can just copy my trades. And I feel like that makes me transparent, and then they can, you know, literally see whether I'm whatever. Okay. So
makes sense, even automated.
That's even automated. And this morning I jumped into the trade copy, and I haven't taken a discretionary trade in there for a billion years. And I don't know what came over me, like the ghost of trading past came over me, and I had my finger over the button and I was going to buy the euro Canadian dollar. I was like, oh, that's just a 2.5 pip spread. I could jump in there. I could take these two trades that are down like only $10 right now, which in the trade copy account, some people have hundreds of thousands of dollars in there. So that's a significant loss, you know, for them, that's a larger than $10 loss. I could take a little bump here and take 10 pips out of the market. All these things, I started talking to myself like a complete moron. And I'm like, my finger is like literally hovering over the button. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm going to be interviewed today. Like, they're going to ask me these questions, and I'm going to have to tell this story. And so I took the trade anyway. And then immediately I had this immediate sense of the thrill, the dopamine release, it's like I was playing poker on television and there's those cards in the middle of the table that haven't been turned over yet. And I've got my hand, the other people have their hand, and I'm waiting for the dealer to turn over that next card and find out what the answer is. And I just had this immediate muscle memory and emotional memory of all that discretionary trading garbage that I used to do. And I was like, this is the worst dirty feeling. I feel like I just got into a relationship and I'm still watching porn. Like, I just felt awful. I felt like this is cheating on my system. This is not working. This is who I used to be. So I closed it. I closed it. It was up like 11 pennies. Like, it was up like not enough money to feed, you know, Bob Cratchit's family on Christmas Day. It was not money. And I just took it and I felt this huge sense of relief. And I think that was me being an amateur, and the professional was me letting the system take care of itself, implementing the system.
17 years.
Yeah, right.
Still challenge. I mean, the only option there, I think, would be to chop your fingers off and then you can't press the button, right? And okay, the robot has to do it for you.
I'm going to write that down in my notebook right now.
You can take that away from this. And so I'm interested about your robots. It's the Finch, right? Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And so we've been talking a little bit about that on this podcast. We haven't quite got around to doing it yet. It seems a little bit more advanced than where we are. But one of the interviews we did with a guy who's created some sort of algo trading software was all based around really kind of actually the fact is that you have to actively manage those robots. You can't just set them up and leave them because the markets change. It sounds like you're having a great time, you know, trading, taking away the discretionary aspect and trading automatically. But do you still actively manage that robot, or is it just fire and forget and it's going to be there for 10 years?
Yeah, it's a great. Okay. I think there are systems that can be left alone, and this is one of them. Like, statistically speaking, I could leave this system running and then go on a 5-year vacation through the south of France and the Swiss Alps or whatever and come back and nothing catastrophically bad would have happened and nothing magnificently fantastic would have happened. And I would have made a stable, small return. But if I want to make a larger return with this same robot, I need to increase my trade size. And if I increase my trade size, I need to be careful. I need to watch the drawdown and I need to sort of assist the robot in by looking at it.
Yeah.
So I need to be aware of, like, if there's a flash crash, I would need to be aware of that. And I would need to, I have a whole like 7-step process if I were to do something after some kind of a flash crash. But, but otherwise, to answer your question more specifically and succinctly, I look at it a few times a day and the only reason I do that is I have a small group of people and we each have a significant amount of money in the robot. We're each making between $500 and $1,000. Well, Scott's making $2,000 a day. And so we are intensely interested in conversations related to the risk that the robot is taking, how to reduce the risk, whether we should be adjusting our position sizes in certain currency pairs due to upcoming votes about leaving economic zones or blocks or major economics, like major elections and stuff like that. So we have this sort of high level academic conversation going on all the time, and we have 0.1% fiddling around with what the robot is doing. So I am at a point now where, since last August, I have essentially taken a 5-hour block of time that I used to spend trading and looking at charts daily. And now I do whatever I want. I met my wife to be, I have traveled to like 4 different countries. I went and laid on the beach for a while. And I know that sounds like I'm selling something. I'm not selling anything. I'm just saying that it has dramatically changed my life. Like,
you made the trading work for you rather than the other way around, right? By the sounds of it.
Yeah. It's like I own a franchise. It's like, I say this all the time. It's like I own a hamburger franchise, and instead of making the hamburgers, I now own the restaurant, and I now watch other people make the hamburgers. And if something goes wrong, I step in and say, "You're making the hamburgers wrong. You dropped one on the floor, robot. Pick it up off the floor, put it back on the bun. We don't have enough money to not serve that." No, we have to make something of the problems that we have.
Hello,
but
man.
I'm I'm managing it now. I'm not running everything. I don't think that that's a really good idea when you own a franchise restaurant. And I don't think it's a great idea as a trader either, but you got to make the hamburgers yourself for a while until you realize this is going to take me a long time to get rich making these hamburgers.
Yeah. And there's always the danger that it just goes wrong and you blow up that account and your psychology goes out of whack or something happens or the market's changing and you can't comprehend it.
Yeah. Two or three times a year in my entire trading career, I would be stuck in a trade that later on in my career, in year 14, 15, 16, I would be stuck in a trade three times a year that would be losing between $100,000 and $200,000. And I would be looking at myself in the mirror in the morning saying, what kind of a jackhole are you? And why are you doing this again? And yet I was, you know, even trading for a living can be very amateurish. Like we think it's professional, but trading for a living for some people like I was, can be literally one step away from margin calling yourself. I realized how much risk I was really taking by putting it all in my hands all the time.
Yeah. And so we had a question from a guy called Spiros for you, which is pertinent now, which is, you know, how did you cope with those losing streaks?
This is kind of a personal story, but I guess I'll...
It's a safe space, Rob.
Yeah. So I didn't grow up in the worst home. I didn't grow up in the best home. And I when I was a young kid, there were a lot of problems in my family life, like sometimes like horrifying, frightening problems. And I remember, you know, all too often, like these really, really, really bad experiences when I was on my way home from school and I'd be like, I don't really want to go to my house or like my, and I would like, as a young kid, I remember dealing with adult problems. And so fast forward to the beginning of my trading career in 1999, the year 2000, I'm an individual who over the course of my life, I've learned to deal with significant disappointment and I've learned to do better when my back was against the wall. I remember I was in ninth grade, I was in high school in the United States and I got a D on my progress reporter. It's like the first half of the first year of my first year in high school. And I remember my mom saying, well, you're just stupid. And I can't even say the story without just feeling a lot of anger and frustration and disappointment about that. And I remember just thinking, well, and then I fill in the blank. This is, you know, you're a jerk and I'm going to prove you wrong, which she didn't mean it to be reverse psychology. She was just being a jerk. But I remember having my back against the wall and feeling like I had something to prove. So I think the answer to Spiros's question, hi Spiros, is that I think I learned early in life how to deal with situations where I had an enormous amount of pressure that I had to like live with or else I wasn't going to make it, and then step into your trading life. And then the most powerful force in the universe is the power of the familiar. So what did I immediately do? I would put my back against the wall subconsciously on purpose, because that's when I do my best. And then I did it over and over and over again for 16 years. And after a while, I was writing the story of my life just as an exercise in being ready to meet somebody and marry them and not be a complete idiot. And I would write these things and I would realize about myself that I would get into a situation, take on as much pressure as I could, put all the pressure on my back, and then like take all of the responsibility, and that I did my best when my back was against the wall. And I thought, this is unnecessary. This is just what I learned to do. And I'm attracted to it because it's familiar. This has to end. And I just made this decision, Spiros, that, okay, I can do my best when my back is against the wall, but I don't have to do well. So the answer is, if you don't have a lot of experience under enormous pressure and you haven't learned to deal with disappointment and pick yourself back up, and you don't have some kind of innate ability to just grit your teeth and stare down the market, don't, you don't learn it. Like you don't learn that. You have to just reduce the trade size.
It's part of you. Your life experience.
Yeah, and everybody's got difficult experiences. So if you are in a bad trade, take yourself back to one of those places in your life where your back was against the wall and you had to pick yourself back up off the floor after a relationship didn't work well, or a job didn't work well, or something that you hoped would have happened didn't occur. And remember what you did and how you felt, and imagine yourself gritting your teeth, staring down that disappointment and rising above it. And that's where you're going to get it from. But you're not going to get it from a chart or some idiot's moron's book about trading where he's like, just wait for the squiggly red line to cross the flowy blue line, and then you're going to be able to get out of your trade, because that's just bullshit. That's not going to happen. That's not going to help anybody in that moment. Technical knowledge, when your back is against the wall, is useless. You're depending on your lizard brain, the core of your brain, the fight or flight syndrome is running the show. And what you have to do is stop and say, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to bring the best person I have to that fight, and I'm going to do my best in that situation. Or you could also just close the loss and just move on with your life, which is what I should have done so many times.
That's a tough decision, though, isn't it? And it depends on what people's systems is, whether they trade their way out of a loss or have an automatic stop or whatever it is. And but I'm actually more interested in your thoughts on closing winning trades.
Oh, okay.
Because I've heard you say a number of times on your podcast that you have to close winning trades, and you mentioned it earlier today about having an idea that when you make a certain percentage ahead, you have to close it. And I think actually for me, weirdly enough, I've got no issue putting in an automatic stop loss on any trade I take, and if it goes, okay, it goes, and that's fine. But for me, I actually feel bad when I close the trade and take the profit, possibly because Tom bullies me about it as well.
Okay.
Maybe when I don't have a specific system for it, but if I say, oh, well, look, it's Friday, I don't want to hold this 100 pip gain over the weekend because who the hell knows what's going to happen? Who knows which leader of which country is going to say what? And I close it and I don't feel good. I feel bad. And I've made 100 pips, 50 pips. I feel bad. But I like that you say close the winning trade. So tell me why I shouldn't feel bad.
That's a really interesting point. I feel like everything comes down to, people say, how do I become a profitable trader? I'm like, close your winning trades. And it sounds so simplistic, but there is this one question you can ask, which is, what is it that I could do that would change everything about my trading? And for a lot of people, that is closing your winning trades and then just going and having another hobby. And I think part of it is that, I mean, I don't know you from a sack of coal, really. I know your podcast, and I don't assume to know you. I don't presume that I know you. And so I want to be careful about how I say this, but every time I've ever been in that same position, I've secretly and subconsciously been very much attracted to the thrill. And as soon as that ride is over, the ride's come to a full and complete stop, and I have to get in line at Disneyland again to get back on that ride. And it's not what you're thinking with the front of your brain. The front of your brain is saying things like, this could go further. I'm not staying in for the full target. The system has a profit target and it's X. And you have all these very academic and very smart person things that you're saying in your mind. The front of your brain is giving you all these rational thoughts about why it's dumb to take your profits early. And that there's a whole education business, a trading education complex built on that. However, what's really going on, in my opinion, deep inside is this feeling like you're going to have to get off the ride, and the ride is really fun. And you're not on a ride, you're doing a job. So if you go into your boss and you say, I met 50% of my sales goals in the first 3 days of the month, I'm going to take a few days off. If your boss fires you, he's a dummy. And if you keep working like a slave, you're a dummy. And trading is meant to be one of two things, entertainment and a hobby, or it's meant to produce an income. And if it's meant to produce an income and you're producing an income, then you're doing your fucking job. So like, that's your job. And if you are like sad that you got off the ride, we're all, like, go get another hobby, like get some drugs. That's why traders do drugs or whatever. That's because people who make money, a lot of money for a living as traders, have like secret, dark, horrible habits. And because that's the outlet for their desire to take a ride. So that's just a warning. And that's just my opinion. I could be totally wrong about that.
No, well, you're not far from the truth, I tell you. And you're absolutely right. And I suppose I've introduced discipline in so many different aspects of my trading that when I'm in a trade, I enjoy it. I do enjoy being in it. And I'm the worst for setting the trade with a with a stop loss and a take profit and then leaving it. You know, I can't do it. I want to look at it. I want to watch it. And then I'm conflicted. Like you say, it's like, well, it hasn't hit its take profit target, but my instincts are telling me I should close it. But other instincts are telling me that I should let it go to the full distance. And I quite like to be in the trade because it's something to look at over the weekend. But equally, I quite like the profit. But you're right. If you close a trade, take a profit, that's a winning trade and that's money in the bank. You know,
I love this. I love this thought that you just had. It just occurred to me that, like so many of us as traders, me and my discretionary trading career included, we would write rules that looked very disciplined. You know, I'm very disciplined. I have my rules. I have my system. And all those rules would literally be designed to satisfy your subconscious animal that was addicted to trading. Like, I've watched people in 17 years write out rules and say, these are my rules. And all the rules represent are something they can point at to another human that doesn't make them look stupid, which will justify their stupid behavior. So it's like, oh, it's all based on rules though. It's like, I have a bunch of rules for trading 50 million times a day or holding on or whatever. And I think it's also fascinating that you say, I have one instinct telling me to take the money and the other instinct telling me to hold on. And that is essentially, there's just two things talking to each other. It's one person has a job and wants to take home their pay right now or a part of their paycheck. I will give you 75% of your paycheck and you came in on Monday. You don't have to stay till Friday. That sounds great. That is a great idea. I'll go do something else for 4 days. And then the other part of your brain is thinking is like going for the big win. And every time I come across this kind of perspective, I just imagine that this is my job and I have a boss and I'm making money. I'm going to keep making money and I'm going to keep banking the sales like I'm a salesperson. I'm going to keep making sure the numbers are going up. I'm going to make sure that my losses remain reasonably small and everything's going to take care of itself. But I'm never going to pick the right profit target, and I'm never going to stay in for the right profit target. That doesn't exist. It is literally like the yellow brick road that leads to nowhere. There's no way to get to that destination. That is an infinite game that you can never win and never find the answer to. And that's why people spend so much money on trading education, is they want a definite answer to a question that shouldn't even be asked in the first place. What is the best profit target and how do I hold on all the way to it? There is no best profit target, so you shouldn't even worry about holding on all the way to it. It doesn't exist.
I love that. I love that, but not because it's going to give me an excuse to get out when I want, but because it's something that I've suspected a long time, is that setting an arbitrary take profit because it works for a good risk to reward ratio with your relatively arbitrary stop loss.
Yeah.
It gives you a framework to work within and therefore help with the psychology, but maybe actually isn't particularly... doesn't really reflect the real market or the real trade that you're in.
And there may not be a real market, and we may all be fooling ourselves that there is there is no there. There is no, there's this idea that there's some guy named Bob living inside of a glass bubble in Tokyo, and he's the final arbiter of where the stop losses and the profit targets are correctly placed. And people will talk all the time, well, these are the support and resistance levels at the banks. They don't know shit about where the banks are trading. That's just garbage. And we draft these rules based on other people's premises, and their premises were based on literally like imaginary thinking. And we think we're made rules. And so what you have at the end is, if you are making money and you are banking money and you are finding places to get into the market and it's working, you are in a top class of people, but don't ever mistake that for knowing where the market is or where banks are trading, or it doesn't.
Don't think you cracked it and you can now read the market.
Yeah. And maybe we shouldn't all worry so much about reading the market, or we all fall into the trap. I do all the time. Like, where's the best entry? What's a great entry method? And these are questions that may not have answers. And we'd like them to have answers, but they may not have answers. And anyone doing this well as a discretionary trader may just be lucky, but that's okay too. That's all right. That doesn't ruin the whole premise of doing this in the first place, because good psychology and good risk management, they are within our control. And those make a bigger difference anyway than the system, if you're a discretionary trader, that is.
Brilliant. Robots is certainly the way we're going to have to go. My little brother, Lawrence, hello, shout out. He's a developer and he hasn't really been into the trading thing. And I sent him a thing the other day and he's just gone right down this rabbit hole. Now he's building this whole like algorithm to like predict the markets. So I'm like, that, it sounds awesome. come back to me when you've done it, because we're all going to be rich.
Yeah, that's great. And I think everything I just said doesn't really apply to me trading a robot. Now that I'm trading a robot, which it sounds like I'm selling something, but I'm just enjoying what I'm doing. So I just have genuine enthusiasm for this. I no longer worry about holding on or not holding on, getting to the profit target, not getting to the profit target, taking an exact entry, being awake in the middle of the night, holding on to a losing position, taking a trade size that was too big because I thought I had a sure thing. All of it's gone. And instead of, sometimes you're banging your head against the wall as a trader, and you're banging your head against the wall, and you're like, bang, 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 bang. And then some other jackhole, you see him behind you, and he's walking behind you, and then he just walks around the side of the wall. Like, he just walks around the wall. And we're all there like, how do I get my psychology right? How do I stop overtrading? How do I stop gambling? How do I stop holding on to a large loss? This is my 15th margin call. And then you're just banging your head against the wall. And then, you know, I'm just walking around the corner and going on the other side of the wall. Like, I'm no longer interested in why I used to overtrade. I don't care anymore about why I used to hold on to a losing position. I don't care anymore about where the best profit target is. I'm done with that. It took me 16 years to do something that should have taken me 6 months to do. And I feel like a guy that used to be like pining after some woman for like a long time. And she was never going to love me back. And I just kept trying. And then, you know, it's like one of those movies where the kid goes into the record store every day and sees the woman behind the counter, and she's perfect for him, but he wants to date the cheerleader. And like, like all these traders are like, I want to date the cheerleader. But there's this perfect relationship for you out there with a trading system that can be run automatically. And the dirty little secret is that's the cheerleader. Like, that's the best one all along. That's the best one. So I just gave up.
I can hear the love in your voice. I love it. It's brilliant. So something slightly more lighthearted. I've got to ask this question. I'll be told off if I don't. What's your favorite song whilst trading?
That is a great question. And I have one. Okay. So this song was actually just featured in the movie Arrival starring Amy Adams. And it's by Max Richter. And it's, let me get the exact name. So I don't get it. On the Nature of Daylight. I could listen to that song like 45 times in a row. And
amazing.
That would work. And then there's a playlist on Spotify that's a public playlist made by Spotify called Peaceful Piano. And that other one, it's got like 150 plus pieces on that. And I listen to that on a loop as well. But in particular, Max Richter, he's a composer for lots of movies and stuff. I listen to that. Like, I can listen to that over and over and over. And it just gets me like I don't know. You know how music works, right? It just takes you into the right zone.
Yeah. It's interesting that yours is calming rather than thrash metal or something like Christian Bale out of the film with The Big Short, you know, where he although I'm not sure getting pumped is really what we need here for, you know, robots aside, for good trading psychology.
Yeah, and I don't do any trading anymore, so I'm answering your question sort of theoretically speaking, but that's the song still the same. And then with the robots, I guess, yeah, I like listening to this is my
you listen to whatever you want. It doesn't matter, right? It's doing the job for
you. Yeah, but my favorite is the last three pieces of music on Batman Begins, the first of those three Christopher Nolan Batman movies. And that is, I can't remember who the composer is because it's just escaping. I think it's not Hans Zimmer. It might be Hans Zimmer. But that one, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, Batman Begins.
I remember Hans Zimmer. Quite an intense soundtrack, certainly.
Yeah, and so that's my other one when I'm like working on robot questions or doing some backtesting or optimization. These names don't mean anything. Like, the last three tracks are Molossus, Coronor, I don't know, and Lasurius. I don't even, maybe that's Latin or something.
Probably
like
means
that,
something to someone.
Yeah, I listen to those all the time.
Sadly, we're kind of out of time, but I didn't prep me for this, but we do have a quick fire round where it's a 10-second answer, 5-question, quick fire round with Tom's heavy klaxon if we go over. Are you up for it?
I'm up for it.
Excellent. All right. Okay, good. So here we go. 10 seconds. First question. Demo trade until profitable, yes or no?
Ha ha, no.
Should you expect to make money in your first year of trading?
No.
How much, if anything, should you pay for trader education?
$497.
Very specific. How should a new trader... How should a new trader choose their system and find their trading edge?
Psychic Friends Network, Dionne Warwick. Anything you want. Doesn't matter. Stop asking that question.
Just kidding. Have you ever blown up a trading account?
Oh, dear Lord, yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Brilliant. People are getting too good at this. We haven't had a klaxon for weeks.
Well, you tell me what the restrictions are, and I feel like I'm afraid of the sound of a popping balloon, chalk, fingernails on a chalkboard, and klaxons. So I didn't want to hear it.
Anything to avoid it. Good stuff. Well, Rob, that was brilliant. Really enjoyed that interview. There's loads of really good stuff in there for listeners to take away and apply to their own trading. Robots sound like the way forward. I know it's something that Tom is very interested in. We are looking into it. And thank you very much for enlightening us a bit on that as well. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
No, anybody can text me anytime. If you want to send me a text message, you can text me at 304-281-8332. That's my actual phone number. That's the phone I'm holding in my hand that my kids text me on.
I can confirm it is because I have texted you and did receive a reply from a human.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to get in touch with me. You have a question, you want to follow up, you hate what I said, keep it to yourself. But if you want to reach out to me and say hello, I'm always happy to hear from everybody.
Fan mail only. I love it. Great stuff. Thanks, Rob. Thanks again. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Rob. Owen, are you still speaking to me? Seeing as I like the fact that Rob mentioned that he loves me at the top of the podcast.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of love to give, so I'm sure I'm there somewhere as well.
Didn't he off-air mention something about my mum as well?
Yeah. The whole thing started with a mum joke, which was interesting. Sadly, we weren't recording.
I love the fact that that was the first, my first interaction with Rob was that he basically made a mum joke, which I think sits in very well with our podcast and proves that he has been listening.
That's it, yeah. That's how to feel at home in your surroundings, you know. Fortunately, he's got another opportunity to tell me he loves me. As soon as we recorded that, he's invited us on his show.
Yeah, that's going to be a really exciting time. I can't wait for you and I to be not the person hosting it. So it could get pretty wild, I think, because we don't have the handrail that we normally have.
I'm going to do it naked. I've just got to say, probably lubed up.
Don't you normally do it naked? I do.
Oh, I've been missing a trick. 39 episodes.
You've got to be free, mate. You don't be constricted when you're trying to, you know, create these episodes.
That's true, yeah. Let the creative spirits flow, you know.
Right, let's move on quickly. Right, Algo Trading, robots.
Yes, he's a big fan of robots.
Yeah, it turns out. It is something that we've looked at previously. It is something that logic dictates. If you believe in technical trading, then surely Algo Trading is the next logical evolution of your trading system.
Yeah, it's like the logic. X-Men of trading.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's got to be, hasn't it? So, I mean,
yeah, 100%. That is. He's right. If you can get it right. I mean, my fear is that you end up with, you know, Skynet, you know, when basically, like, I'm not going to destroy my trading account in one day. But if I have a robot that I don't trade well or has a problem, and you see it, like even the big boys, even the proper hedge funds, when they have these flash crashes and stuff where they go, oh yeah, we had a bit of a computer glitch, you know. It cost £700 billion and made 60,000 people unemployed. But yeah, you know, on a smaller scale, I'm slightly concerned about that and my system, my trading account. But that's probably just an irrational fear, really.
Potentially, but no, I think a very fair point. And like you said, it has happened in the past, so why wouldn't it happen again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, very fair point.
And but Rob was right, you wouldn't just do it and leave it.
Yeah.
You've got to monitor it.
And you always have those fail safes, don't you? You know, if you've lost it in one day over this percent, stop working, you know, if something's going wrong.
So Rob's obviously doing well with his algo. I will certainly be keeping an eye on that on his pod. Best of luck to him, and hopefully we'll be there soon ourselves, but it's probably the next step for us, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, great episode. Absolutely loved it. Love speaking to Rob. And if people wanted to find a bit more about Two Blokes Trading, where can they find us?
They can find us on all of the social media outlets, but specifically our Facebook community, Thriving Community, and they need to go onto Facebook and search Two Blokes Trading Forex Community. Mm-hmm. As he said with no conviction, and it's there, and there's lots of good. It's not just about Forex, actually, as well. You know, if you're a commodities trader, you're an equities trader, there's some good conversations on there. Very friendly.
And the key thing is, we've got a page, but also that's the group, and it's just a safe space. There's not nobody selling anything on there. It just is people where you can put a few ideas, bounce it around. We're not a massive like trade to win. It's just a small group of people who like-minded individuals that support each other. So if you're interested, get on there.
Yeah. In the meantime, of course, feel free to subscribe to the podcast and click us a little like and a little review on iTunes.
Does make a difference. Great. Look forward to chatting to you next week, mate.
Cheers, mate. Have a good one. Best of luck with your new system for the rest of the week.
Yeah, no pressure.
Thanks for listening to the Two Blokes Trading podcast with Tom and Owen. Be sure to subscribe and check out twoblokestrading.com. And we'll see you back here next Monday.